This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, March 30th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Senate takes stand on WOTUS. New forecast adds wrinkle to farm bill. And ag research has crucial backer. The Senate votes down the WOTUS rule, but Biden has the last word. The Biden-WOTUS rule will roll on to implementation, that despite a Senate vote under the Congressional Review Act yesterday. That's because President Joe Biden has already said he'll veto the joint resolution. It passed the Senate 53-43 after the House voted earlier this month, 227-198, to overturn it. The rule itself went into effect March 20th. The votes aren't there to override a veto, which may have given political cover to some vulnerable Democrats to vote for the resolution. Jackie Rosen of Nevada, John Tester of Montana, and Joe Manchin of West Virginia are all up for re-election next year. Independent Kirsten Sinema of Arizona, who hasn't decided whether she'll run in 2024, and Catherine Cortez Mastro of Nevada also voted for the measure. Still to come? Well, the Supreme Court's decision in the Sackett Clean Water Act case. Critics of the Biden rule say EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers should have waited for that opinion before launching rulemaking. New farm bill forecast raises price estimates. The closely watched Food and Agriculture Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri is out with its new forecast of farm program costs, which projects significantly higher commodity prices than the Congressional Budget Office is using for its estimate. Why does it matter? Well, the difference in the two forecasts are potentially significant because higher price estimates could affect the cost of adjusting commodity programs. If CBO decides to move its price estimates closer to FAPRI's, CBO estimates are used to score the cost of farm program changes. The higher price estimates potentially make a big difference in which of the two main programs, agriculture risk coverage or price loss coverage, is most appealing to producers. Because of the existing caps on PLC reference prices, FAPRI thinks many producers will choose ARC over PLC. As a result, FAPRI projects much higher costs for ARC and lower payments for PLC than does the CBO. By the way, FAPRI Director Patrick Westhoff was on Capitol Hill yesterday briefing staff on the forecast. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. SEC hedging on climate rule. Securities and Exchange Commission Gary Gensler is feeling the heat on the agency's plan to require companies to disclose the greenhouse gas emissions in their supply chains. During a House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing, he stressed the commission and its staff were still discussing the proposal, which he said had drawn an unprecedented number of comments. Now take note, Gensler could have trouble with the top Democrat on the Financial Service Appropriations Subcommittee, which controls the SEC budget. Maryland Representative Steny Hoyer told Gensler he would be looking into the plan to see whether he shared GOP concerns about its impact on small businesses. Califf defends FDA budget, talks milk labeling. FDA Commissioner Robert Califf defended the agency's requested 7.8% budget increase while testifying before the House Appropriations Agriculture Subcommittee yesterday. A year prior, he came under intense fire for the handling of the infant formula crisis. But much of the questioning yesterday didn't convey the same sense of frustration with Califf. Califf reported on the progress of the agency's proposed rule to differentiate between dairy milk and other alternative plant-based beverages that use the term milk. Califf said FDA has determined through the research that Americans have trouble distinguishing the nutritional differences between cow's milk and almond milk. Our rule is really focused on explicitly saying that there are differences in nutritional value as opposed to focusing on the name for one compared to the other, because when these issues on naming have been brought up in court consistently now, the First Amendment wins out that people have the right to call it what they will, Califf said. EPA eyeing July for Ag Committee meeting. EPA's Farm, Ranch, and Rural Communities Federal Advisory Committee is expected to meet this summer for the second time this year. Following his comments for members of the American Coalition for Ethanol, EPA Agriculture Advisor Rod Snyder told reporters yesterday that details are still being finalized, but he expects the group to meet somewhere into the countryside in July. The group met in January for the first in-person gathering since May 2016. We are really committed to making sure that the committee has its opportunity to do its work and be really meaningful and substantive part of our process to gather information and provide recommendations to the administrator, Snyder said. On the agenda, EPA Administrator Michael Regan has tasked the committee with considering how EPA's tools and programs can best support and advance U.S. agriculture sector's climate mitigation and adaptation goals. Groups call for checkoff reform. More than 130 agriculture and food groups are urging the House and Senate Agriculture Committees to tighten the rules governing checkoff programs. The organizations, which include RCAF USA, the National Farmers Union, and the National Family Farm Coalition, support the Opportunities for Fairness in Farming Act. It would prohibit checkoff programs from contracting with organizations that lobby on agricultural policy and require them to publish checkoff program budgets and expenditures, among other things. Ukraine. War has cut developing countries' access to grain. Ukrainian wheat shipments to low-income nations are still below pre-war levels, but shipments are making up lost ground thanks to the Black Sea Grain Initiative and donor countries. That, according to United Nations data and a new analysis by the Ukrainian Agriculture Ministry. Ukraine has managed to ship 236,000 tons of wheat to Yemen so far under the initiative. That's still far below the 700,000 tons provided by Ukraine in the year before Russia invaded, according to the ministry. A ship carrying another 30,000 tons of donated Ukrainian wheat left Odessa this week for Yemen. So far, Ukraine has shipped about 1 million tons of wheat to Ethiopia, to Somalia, Sudan, Yemen, and other low-income countries under the initiative. That's just a third of the shipment sent in the same time period before the war began. Finally, here's today's She Said It. The bottom line is research saves money in the future and helps produce more food and all the things we need for our economy. That's Senator Patty Murray, a Washington Democrat who took over as chairwoman of the Senate Appropriations Committee this year. She was addressing the issue of ag research during a hearing with Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack on Wednesday. Most agricultural research funding is allocated through annual appropriation bills, which makes Murray a crucial decision maker on the issue. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, March 30th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com for AgriPulse Daybreak. I'm Jeff Daly.